Good evening, church family. Trust that this message finds you doing well. I'd like to share from my heart for a few minutes before I get into the lesson for the evening. This time with the church, when the church has been unable to meet, has been challenging and demanding for me. The desire to be together is intense, and yet the desire to be responsible and safe is also compelling. I look forward to when we can be together again, and I believe that that's going to happen sooner than later. But it's been a time when I've really needed the Lord's wisdom and guidance more than probably ever before as a leader. As I have wrestled with the decisions concerning the church and have shared with the deacons and the church board about it, and we've talked about it together, one of the things that I've become very aware of is God's faithfulness and His willingness to keep His promises. And there's a phrase in the Bible that Paul actually used a lot in relationship to God, and it's the term according to. According to, and it's in the Greek that means in proportion to one's abundance, not stingily. Not a portion, but a proportion. And what that means is that God, in His ministry to us, does not give us a portion of His abundance, but gives us proportionally from His abundance. And there's a significant difference. I could have $1 billion and give you 10, and I would have given you a portion, a very small portion at that. But if I have $1 billion and I give you $10 million, I've given to you according to or more proportionate to my true wealth. God's blessing and equipping are done according to or in proportion to God's capacity. And thankfully, God's capacity is unlimited. And in this time when we're dealing with things that we've never dealt with before and having to weigh various issues, the testimony of the church, the desire and the command to meet together, being good citizens, being good stewards of the gospel, all of these things, and making decisions about when is the right time to do the right thing, I'm thankful that God is faithful to give according to or in proportion to His unlimited capacity. I want to just look at three things tonight that I have found to be very, very comforting and very effective when truly in and of ourselves, and I can tell you for me personally that apart from God, these would be unanswerable questions and unsolvable dilemmas. But because of God's goodness and His grace, His wisdom and His mercy, and the gifts that He gives in proportion to His unlimited capacity, we can navigate these events and these unique situations in a way that brings Him glory and pleases Him. Let's pray together. God, I thank You tonight for the time we have in Your Word. Lord, I thank You and praise You that You are almighty, that You are big and You are powerful, dear God, and that You are all wise, and God, that You are generous. You give in proportion to Your unlimited capacity. And I pray that we would be encouraged tonight, dear Lord, by the things that we are reminded that You give us as it relates to Your goodness. In Christ's name, amen. The first thing that I want to talk about and I'm excited about and I have really appreciated is God's giving of power. You know, to live the Christian life victoriously, it requires a power that comes from above. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul is praying, and he prays this. He says, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Notice these next words, to usward who believe. According to, or in proportion to, the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Notice what it says there. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? So his power to us, according to or in proportion to the working of his mighty power. God is unlimited in his power, and his power to us is in proportion to that unlimited power. Praise God for that. God has called and equipped us to live power-filled lives. And it's important that we don't for a moment allow the thought to enter our minds that we are powerless in this situation that we're in. The times we don't control, the politics we don't control, the governance we don't control. But God is a God who gives us power, and we do have the ability to live the life that pleases him, no matter what the circumstances. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 talks about, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You notice that the power preceded the mission. God says, yeah, you're going to get this power and this power of the Holy Ghost, and after that, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. That seems like such a giant task, and yet by the power that God gives us in proportion to his infinite power, that becomes a totally achievable assignment. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul here again in Ephesians, talking to the Christians in Ephesus, a church that he spent a lot of time at. Ephesians 6:10, talking about the armor, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength comes from God. I don't have to understand all the circumstances. I don't have to know all the variables. I seek God's wisdom, the God who inhabits eternity, the God who knows tomorrow and the next day before they even arrive, and I follow his leading, and I seek to be empowered by his indwelling power. And it says here in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is not about having a mind that's just firm in itself. It's in the Lord and in the power of his might. God's power will never fail. That power is the same power that helps us to overcome temptation. Instead of having lust, we can have love. Instead of fear, we can have courage. Instead of anger, we can be long-suffering. Instead of pride, we can have humility. Instead of selfishness and greed, we can have generosity. Instead of bitterness, we can have forgiveness. Instead of self-deception and the lies of Satan, we can know truth. You see, the power of God manifests itself in tangible ways in our life. The power of God's truth protects us from the deceptive things that are out there. The power of God's forgiveness allows us to forgive others and not harbor bitterness. The power of God's gracious generosity allows us to give to others as we have been given to, and so on. Some examples of commands based upon the power we receive. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I know in and of myself that that would be impossible. I could not possibly put away all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and all evil speaking and all malice and trade that for kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. And yet, through the power of God, manifest by his indwelling Holy Spirit, we can do that. By the power we receive as a proportion of God's infinite power, we can love like he loves. We can forgive as we have been forgiven. We can show grace like we've been given grace. You see, God, by his power, calls us to live a different life. In Ephesians 4, 28 and 29, just back a few verses, it says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might may have to give to him that needeth." That is an amazing transformation that takes place there. An amazing transformation. From a thief to a hard worker to a generous giver. How do you go that far? As a police officer, I arrested many a person who was a thief. And there were many thieves that I arrested over and over and over again. And in and of their own power, they could never break away from that life. And yet here, by the power of God, you can move a thief to a hard worker to a generous giver. And verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So in the same way, the power of God can move us from being foul, harsh, cold communicators to a person who builds others up with their words and ministers grace to the receivers. This is all done by the power we receive as a proportion of God's infinite power. I think that it's a tragic thing when we as Christians who have received this kind of power from God, the power to manifest the character of Christ to others, the power to show grace, the power to forgive, the power to speak edifying words that minister grace, the power to change behaviors and leave bad habits behind and take up virtuous things. When we live our lives without exercising or allowing God to exercise that power in us. You see, it's only by the power of God that we can actually live the divine life. And if we're not living the divine life, as indicated by corrupt communication or deceptiveness or dishonesty or bitterness or wrath or fear, and that tells us that we're not availing ourselves through surrender and dependence upon the power that God has given us as a proportion of his power. Another thing that we can see from God that's done in proportion to his ability is his ability to meet needs. In Philippians 4:19, this is a verse that most of you probably know. Paul is writing here, and he encourages the church in Philippi. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need." And then here's that phrase, "according to or in proportion to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Stop and consider for a moment what God's resources are. The Bible says that he owns everything. That the hills are his. The cattle are his. The gold is his. It's all his. This world is his. It's even our ability to work and earn money is his. God's ability, God's resources to meet needs are infinite and inexhaustible. And it says here, "God shall supply all your need according to or in proportion to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In the midst of the time that we're in, you may feel like some of your needs are suffering. Just know that God is more than capable of meeting every need. For the Philippians, they had given to Paul's ministry on three occasions at least, out of their poverty. And Paul is assuring them that God will meet their needs out of God's riches in Christ. Now, we can find ourselves reluctant to give out of fear or selfishness or greed or pride. Maybe we don't have much. Maybe right now resources are scarce. But I want to just encourage you that God shall supply all your need according to or in proportion to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, look at verse 38. Christ is talking here and he says, give. Give. There's generosity. And it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. How can we give generously regardless of outcome? How can God promise to return the investment to our lives? By the supply we receive as a proportion of God's infinite resources. I'm sure you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. When people were expressing concerns about their needs, and Jesus said in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, don't let the motivation for your life be your needs. Don't let the motivation for your actions be your possessions. Don't let the motivation for your priorities be your finances. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, God has got all the resources that he needs to supply you with everything that you need, but he wants you to look to him first. How can we go from worry and being preoccupied with our present and future needs to not worrying about the financial and physical needs of the future? And instead focus our energy on the things of God by trusting in the promise of God to supply what we need in proportion to his infinite resources. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, we see some principles about giving. Second Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning with verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Stop and think about why we might sow sparingly. That's not based upon, by the way, how much we give, but it's how much we give in proportion to how much we have to give. Why would we maybe sow sparingly? I can think of some reasons in my own life. Maybe you can too. But he goes on and he says, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. You see, the correlation there is we're called to purpose in our heart and give. Now, what we're giving is a portion. But God promises that in response to that, God will give all grace and all sufficiency in all things. So that we can abound in every good work for him. You see, God is got amazing capacity to give. And he can give you and I all grace and all sufficiency in all things and still have plenty to give again tomorrow. So how can we go from sowing and reaping sparingly to sowing and reaping bountifully? How can we go from giving grudgingly and out of compulsion to giving out of a cheerful, thankful heart? Being generous toward others? There's only really three things you can do with money. You can give it, spend it, or save it. And God calls us to be generous, compassionate, even with our resources. How can you go from worry about what we have left after giving to having all grace and all sufficiency, always in all things that abound to us from God? By trusting in the promises of God to supply what we need in proportion to his infinite resources. The third thing I want to just touch on is that God gives us in proportion to his unlimited capacity is strength. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1 verses 10 and 11. This is Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae, and he says that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How? How is that possible? How can we possibly walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing? Wow. How can we be fruitful in every good work? How can we continually be increasing in the knowledge of God? He answers that question in the next verse here, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to or in proportion to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. We can do all these things because of the proportion of God's strength that he gives to us. Notice what it says there, strengthened with all might, according to or in proportion to his glorious power. God's power doesn't just come out of him, doesn't just exude from him, doesn't just flow down from him, but it has the ability to engage us and strengthen us. It's amazing. It's not like a lightning bolt on the outside that lights up the sky, but if it hits you, it would just incinerate you. It's a power that comes down and is inside of us and literally gives us the ability to do the things that he has called us to do. We are strengthened to do these things and more because we receive a proportion of God's infinite and glorious power that gives us strength. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is talking about the end because he knows the end is near. He's in prison and he says this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Maybe you're feeling alone tonight. Maybe you're missing the fellowship of other believers and friends. Maybe it's been a while and loneliness is really challenging your heart. I want you to see what Paul said here. Beginning again, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He says, I was alone. Then he says this in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Stop and consider that. It wasn't just that the Lord stood with him. He also strengthened him. It wasn't just his presence. It was his power that was strengthening him, giving Paul strength, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brother and sister in Christ, you are never alone, and you are never without the strength that God provides. How could Paul be alone, abandoned, forsaken, withstood by others, threatened with peril, locked in prison, and yet still preach the gospel, encourage Timothy, be used by God to bring the Gentiles into the family of God, anticipate and look forward to his preservation in heaven, and praise God? How could he do that? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I would invite you to ask the Lord to not only stand with you, but to strengthen you tonight. To strengthen you that you might surrender those things which are between you and He. To strengthen you that you might not give in to the temptation that's knocking at the door. To strengthen you that you would not feel hopeless. To strengthen you that you would not be bitter or angry or judgmental or harsh. God's strength is always perfect in its work to move you to Christ-likeness. God's call for us to be like His Son includes giving us the strength to walk that walk. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, turn there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Very encouraging passage here. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Translated, He has an inexhaustible supply of strength. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is faithful to give strength in proportion to His unlimited strength. So how do we go from being faint and weak and tired and worn out with no might in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our actions, to soaring like eagles, to running like marathon runners, and walking with great endurance? Like it says in verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength in proportion to His infinite power. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know this. I know that we have a God who gives power in proportion to His infinite power for us to live the life that He has called us to live. I know that we have a God who promises to meet all of our needs by supplying abundantly a proportion of infinite riches and resources that are at His disposal. And I know that we have a God who will give us a proportion of strength based upon His infinite and unlimited power. It's because of these things and so many others that Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because my God is infinite and mighty and powerful and holy, And he gives to you and to me in proportion to his infinite capacity. I thank God that he is the God who inhabits eternity. I thank him that he is so faithful to not only call us and to save us, but to equip us and empower us and enable us to live lives that please him. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, and know, please know that I pray for you, that God's full reality will be present in your life. He is an amazing God. He is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. He is a God who gives strength, who meets needs. He is a God who allows us to see miracles every day if we will but see the world through his eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this evening. God, I pray you would give wisdom to our leaders in the country and to our leaders in the state. God, I pray that you would turn the heart of the king and the leaders, dear God, in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Lord, I pray that you would give real wisdom to myself and Pastor Caleb and to the church board as we make challenging decisions, that, dear God, that have many competing concerns to be aware of. God, I pray that you would be with each member of our church. Protect each one, dear God, I pray. Comfort them as only you can, dear God, and empower them as only you can, and strengthen them as only you can, dear God, and give them a heart filled with peace and joy as only you can. God, I pray that you would bring us back together soon. And, dear Lord, that you would protect us between now and then, and protect us when we come back together, as you have always done. And we would give you the glory and the praise in Christ's name. Amen.